A paper published in this month's Journal of General Internal Medicine calls for more U.S. doctors to be trained in the field of asylum medicine. These doctors and clinicians perform medical forensic evaluations for people seeking asylum to assess their claims of persecution and torture. Dr. Catherine McKenzie, director of the Yale Center for Asylum Medicine, co-authored the paper, which comes at an especially charged moment. Debate continues over the Trump administration's zero-tolerance immigration policy affecting those seeking asylum in the U.S. McKenzie joined Connecticut Public Radio's Diane Orson in our New Haven studio to talk about her work.
Dr. McKenzie, welcome to Morning Edition.
Thank you for having me, Diane.
I wonder if we could begin by you giving us an example of some of the types of cases you've seen.
I'm glad you asked, Diane. It's when I see asylum seekers that I realize this common humanity that we all have, and that in the exam room with these applicants, we're both just two human beings. But one man who comes to my mind is PK, I'll give you his initials. And he's a man who was from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And this is a country where the ruling government is very repressive, it's very autocratic, and it does not accept any sort of protest from its citizens. So PK, in fact, wanted to become involved in a opposition political party with a candidate, and he went to a political protest, which was peaceful one day. And after the protest, the protesters were surrounded by government forces, and they took them to a detention center. And PK spent the next 5 days in a detention center, and he underwent some of the most brutal torture that I've ever heard in the 13 years that I've done this work. He was beaten, he was burned, he was cut, his family was threatened, his life was threatened many times, and many of the other protesters who were arrested with him were actually killed. Through some stroke of luck, he was released from detention, and it was soon after that that he realized he needed to leave the country. He knew that if he stayed in the country for any more time, that his life would be in danger. So I met PK and performed a physical evaluation on him and wrote my findings in a medical legal affidavit. And this was a couple years ago, but PK was granted asylum, a wonderful outcome for that particular story in this man who I think was very deserving of asylum. Another person I saw recently was a young woman from Central America. I'll call her MS. And MS was a woman who married early, and shortly after being married, her husband began to abuse her, beat her, injured her, many times beat her to the point that she had to go to the hospital and that her life was in danger. And he also raped her multiple times as well. So MS came to my office. She's applying for asylum, and I had to document the scars that resulted from really, really years and years of severe domestic violence. And again, this is someone whose government will not protect her from domestic violence, and she came to the U.S. to be safe. This is a basic human right that she's trying to exercise, to be safe in an intimate relationship.
In your just published paper, you call for more doctors to be trained in asylum medicine. What kind of need is there?
Well, it's clear that a medical forensic evaluation increases the likelihood that asylum will be granted. In fact, a study showed a few years ago that of all asylum cases in the U.S., 37.5 were granted, and if a medical forensic evaluation was performed, that increased to 89%.
Do you advocate for the patients who come to your clinic in their requests for asylum?
Specifically in asylum medicine, the work we do is not in an advocacy way. We are objective evaluators.
Are there a lot of doctors interested in learning about this? And the other question I have is it hard to stay in this kind of field for a long time if you're constantly hearing such difficult stories?
Well, Diane, I'll answer those questions one at a time because they're excellent questions. I happened to be at a national conference just 2 weeks ago, and I, along with some other experts in asylum medicine, presented a training for doctors who are specifically interested in this, and there was just a tremendous outpouring of interest. Physicians, just like the general populace, see what's happening around us in these politically charged times, and we are people who are specifically dedicated to helping those who are most vulnerable, who are at greatest need. So the work is difficult. It is. As I said, I've been in this field about 13 years. And when we meet in the room, as when you meet in an exam room with any patient, there is something that really is difficult to describe that happens. And we might see someone as she recounts some of the most traumatic episodes of her life. And that can certainly cause us to have vicarious traumatization. That certainly has been well documented in the literature. But I do want to say something else, and that is, as you sit in the room with an asylum seeker and hear about terrible injury, and then you see them, and many of these people are so resilient. They have experienced some of the worst things that can happen to a human being, and yet they sit in front of you, and they still have maintained their humanity, and many times they have maintained their psychological intactness. Nevertheless, what I wanted to say is we might experience vicarious trauma, but many times we experience vicarious resilience as we see what these asylum seekers have gone through and how they have emerged.
Dr. McKenzie, thanks so much for coming in to speak with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, Diane.
Dr. Catherine McKenzie is director of the Yale Center for Asylum Medicine. She co-authored a paper called Asylum Seekers in a Time of Record Forced Global Displacement, The Role of Physicians. It's published in this month's Journal of General Internal Medicine.